The main room was still dark when Dean entered, but there was a light spilling out from underneath the bathroom door. When the door opened, Sam walked out dressed in a pair of boxer shorts and a tee, rubbing a towel over his hair, obscuring his view of the room. The picture was odd to Dean for all the familiarity of it. He'd seen Sam come out of the bathroom after a shower more than 1,000 times, but they'd both given up getting dressed in the bathroom once Sam started going through puberty. They were just too big for some of the very small bathrooms that they had encountered in shitty motels over the years. Once Sam had started to grow out of his chubby 12-year-old phase, he'd eased out of his clothed modesty phase and moved on to just wrapping a towel around his hips and grabbing another for his stupid hair, if the motel provided enough to go around.
"Wow, sexy,"
Dean commented with his best leer. Sam whipped the towel away from his head so fast that Dean was sort of surprised that his brother didn't get rug burn from it.
"I thought you were Jess,"
Sam said as he clutched the towel to his chest like some sort of girl trying to protect her maidenly virtue.
"You might need glasses,"
Dean responded easily. Sam managed to look affronted by that.
"What are you doing in here?" he demanded.
"Your sex dreams woke me up."
"You're nowhere near this room."
"What can I say, man? You're really loud. I mean, you drove Jess out into the night with all the moaning and groaning."
Dean's mouth twitched a little, but he tried not to show the full extent of his amusement. Lying to Sam in the long run would be a bad thing, but there was no reason that a little ribbing wasn't still permissible.
"She called you about it?" Sam squeaked.
"Yes, Sam. Instead of waking you up and telling you to quit it, she went outside to call your big brother to come in here and tell you to quit having naughty dreams in the same room with her."
"You don't need to be so sarcastic about it. You're the one who isn't explaining himself."
Sam pouted.
"Really? I'm the one? Because last I checked, you were the one with the secrets."
Sam's right hand let go of the towel to rub at his forehead. The terry cloth fabric swung limply to the side as his left fist clenched around it harder.
"Look, Dean, I'm tired. I just want to go back to bed."
Sam gestured feebly at his chosen sleeping place with the towel.
"Sounds like a great idea,"
Dean said as he reached over and flipped the coverlet fully open, as opposed to just pushed down on one side. He stared at the sheets for a moment before reaching over to flick on the bedside lamp. A groan came forth from behind Dean, and he didn't need to have spent years cataloging all of Sam's various expressions of displeasure to identify it as one of mortification.
"Did your balls get some sort of magical property from this whole mystical powers thing? Or have you just not whacked off in, like, months?"
Dean asked as he stared at what appeared to be a small lake in the middle of the mattress.
"Ha ha, very funny. Will you please leave?" "No can do. I traded my nice cozy bed to your ex, so I didn't have to get all jealous about you sharing private time with her."
"She left?"
Sam sounded scared.
"You sound like you're surprised by that. I've got to tell you that you shouldn't be."
Sam didn't say anything, so Dean just flipped the covers back over the stain with a disgusted grunt.
"Okay, well, looks like we're sharing. What side do you want, honey?"
"Don't call me honey, and we're not sharing."
"Keep using that tone with me, and I'm not going to give you a blowjob in the morning."
"Dean, I mean it. Dean?" Sam grabbed a hold of Dean's arm, preventing his brother from transferring the pillows over from the soiled bed to the new one.
"I hear you, Sammy. I'm just not paying any attention to you. I hear that's what husbands do. We ignore our shrewish wives and pressure them for sex."
"I..."
"Speechless?
Nice. I can work with that."
Dean grinned as he pulled his arm free and began arranging the pillows.
"It's just that there is so much wrong with that sentence that I don't know where to begin."
Dean turned and raised an eyebrow at him.
I think I want to keep the speechless thing.
Sam looked peeved at that, but Dean ignored his ire and shot his hand out to pull Sam down. He wasted no time chasing Sam's surprised gasp right back into his mouth with his tongue. Truthfully, he half expected his intruding tongue to be bitten in retaliation because the Winchester boys had never been taught that it was a bad thing to play dirty. Then again, Sam's return kiss was definitely dirty and included just as much tongue as Dean's initiating one. Sam's right hand found its way down to cup at Dean's ass, and the other one finally drew away the towel that he'd been holding onto. Freed from its duty, it slid up to cup Dean's jaw and adjusted the angle of the kiss. Dean backed away and shot a smirk at the discarded laundry.
Finally throwing in the towel?
Sam grunted and stepped forward to claim another kiss, but Dean dodged around him and gave him a gentle shove towards the bed. He might love Sam to pieces, but there was no way that he was going to give up control and be submissive. It wasn't his style. It didn't look like that message had exactly made it through to Sam's brain, though, because he just reached out to grab at Dean and pull him down onto the bed with him. They kissed awkwardly for a while, both laying half on and half off the bed, facing each other. It wasn't the best kiss that Dean had ever had, but he didn't think that it should be either. Something so huge, so permanent, and so weird shouldn't be easy at first. With a gentle hand, he pushed away from Sam.
What's wrong?
Sam sounded adorably confused, and his eyes were all soft and moony as they tried to focus on Dean's face.
It's getting late, and as valiantly as your soldier is trying down there.
Dean pointed to the bulge in Sam's boxers.
I don't think that he's ready for another tour of duty right now.
One of Sam's huge hands reached down to cover up his crotch, and his face flushed in embarrassment.
Nothing I haven't seen before. Actually, nothing I haven't seen on you before, Dean reminded him.
I'm not going to let you suck me off in the morning, Sam blurted out as Dean pulled him off the covers so that they could get into the bed properly.
Of course you are, Dean responded with all of his natural authority.
No, I'm not, Sam stated firmly. Dean just crawled between the sheets, laid back, and patted the small space next to him on the bed. Sam's mouth twisted into an annoyed pout for a second or two, but he climbed into the bed fast enough that any attempt he might make about not wanting to be in it would be an obvious lie. Dean grinned triumphantly, and when Sam reached over to turn off the lamp, Dean took full advantage of the movement and spooned right up behind him.
Hello, little spoon. I'm the dish of your dreams. Come run away with me,
Dean whispered in Sam's ear. For perverting a nursery rhyme and getting his way about the sleeping arrangements, Dean figured he deserved the elbow that Sam gave him before they settled down to sleep. In the past year, Dean had gotten used to waking up with somebody in the same bed with him. Lisa had been a cuddler, and Dean had given up on any pretense that he wasn't a protective son of a bitch who liked to hold and cherish and, well, protect. The whole sleeping together thing had really worked for him in ways that he hadn't imagined possible. It was like this great way of showing affection and concern without having to have one solitary conversation about his feelings because you couldn't talk when you were asleep. The exception being Sam. Not that Sam actually sleep-talked. Even if he had, John Winchester wouldn't have stood for either of his sons developing such a dangerous habit. Dean sometimes wondered if Sam had developed his penchant for making noises in his dreams as a way of defying their father. Not quite talking, not quite spilling any secrets, but annoying enough even though it wasn't strictly dangerous. No, sir, there was no sleeping if you were in imminent danger, not on John Winchester's watch. So there had never been a chance that Sam would alert the enemy to their presence by sleep mumbling.
Always being awake had been a great way to keep that scenario from happening. Of course, Sam had managed to have quite the one-sided conversation with Dean last night, so there was a chance that his nighttime grunts had evolved into something more lingual. Jess hadn't mentioned any specifics on the physical hearing side, but it had been late, and Dean hadn't exactly encouraged her to hang around and share the details. A tickling sensation derailed Dean's train of thought and brought him out of his memories right back into reality. The reality where Sam had somehow gotten Dean on his back during the night and had used his big brother's chest as a pillow. The picture they made was warm and snuggly and gooey hearts and roses. It was also making one of Dean's arms fall asleep, because Sam weighed twice what Lisa could ever have nightmares about weighing. Given that Sam was also a foot and a half taller than Lisa, Dean was pretty sure that Sam's lower body was either doing a pretzel impersonation, or the guy's feet were hanging off the end of the bed. Not that Sam hadn't spent a few years of his life with the whole end-of-the-bed problem. No, Sam had been forced to become the master of that particular trick until John Winchester had finally realized that when Dean asked if they couldn't start getting rooms with queen-sized beds instead of doubles, it wasn't just because Dean was being soft. Shooting up Sam with muscle relaxants so that they could vacate the premises before they got evicted hadn't been the proudest moment in Dean's life, but there had been no way that he was going to shove his little brother out of a window when he wasn't sure that Sam could roll with the impact. Their dad had bitched about how difficult it was to obtain the drugs, and Dean, well, he had gone apeshit on their father. Really, really quietly apeshit. Because they hadn't wanted to alert anybody to the fact that they were sneaking out of the rent due on the rat hole of an apartment they'd been in, but Dean figured the sentiment was what had mattered. Sam had appreciated it, and it was one of the few times that John Winchester had ever admitted to being wrong about something.
"You're smiling."
Sam's voice was soft, groggy, and full of a little wonderment. Dean looked down to see that while Sam's heavy and shaggy head was still resting on his pecs, Sam's face was now tilted upwards. His stupid brown hair was all mussed, and his eyes were still hazy from sleeping. It was freaking adorable, in Dean's opinion. Dean was seriously fucked when it came to his brother, though, so he would have to admit that maybe his opinion wasn't the best.
"Hey..."
Dean responded in what he hoped was a noncommittal and neutral tone. Apparently it wasn't, or at least it wasn't to a mostly sleepy and maybe not so sane anymore Sam. One second they were making sleepy eyes at each other, and the next Sam's eyes had sped from sleepy past awake to completely dilated and horny. Not that Dean had a lot of experience with seeing Sam's bedroom eyes, but the mental porn monologue that started up in his head definitely sounded exactly like Sam's voice, so he was fairly certain the pupil dilation wasn't from a head injury or anything like that. Unless, of course, the whole mental sex thing was the result of some sort of telepathy induced by head trauma. But Dean was betting on that having more to do with the whole faded lovers thing.
"So just,
Sam's brain grunted into Dean's, cutting off Dean's speculation of its exact origin. The sentiment that it expressed was sort of random, but it made Dean feel a little better that Sam's sex brain wasn't fluent in Spanish or capable of coherent thought. Dean's tongue darted out to wet his lips in preparation to actually say something when,
"Fucking pretty,"
came echoing into his skull. Dean frowned. That was just not okay. He was a stud, a sexy beast, an awesomely packaged badass hunter. He was not going to let Sam get by with calling him pretty.
"No frown. Frown bad. Sexy frown. Ugh,"
Sam commented unhelpfully.
"Sam," Dean began.
"Mine." Sam's mind growled the name out long and low, and Sam's hips rolled forward a bit, pushing his morning wood against his brother. Dean smiled a little nervously.
"Okay, so here's the thing. I can hear you right now, in my brain,
And apparently, you're a Neanderthal, so if you'd just...
Sam surged upwards from the rumpled blankets like some sort of mermaid, merman, whatever. Some sort of aquatic creature jumping out of the ocean. He was a gigantic Sam dolphin that lunged up and took Dean's still-moving mouth into a sloppy kiss.
Gah.
That comment was echoed by a low moan that came out of Sam's throat, but was stifled by virtue of Dean's tongue being in the way. Despite their makeout session the night before, Dean had sort of figured that they'd talk about something before they actually progressed to more explicit sex acts. But as Sam rolled fully on top of Dean and thrust his crotch downwards, Dean revised his game plan. He was an adaptable sort of guy, and he liked sex and saving the world. Sam whimpered a little and broke their kiss when Dean rolled his own hips against the warm bulk covering them.
"Hard, warm, good," Sam gibbered.
"Yeah," Dean commented out loud. It just seemed rude not to at least agree.
Sam grunted out loud and pushed himself off Dean, only to shift around on the bed a bit to align their hips and drop back down. Dean let his eyes roll back in his head because, yeah, that felt awesome. Not that the concept of associating pleasure with hardness wasn't throwing his brain for a loop, because it was. It wasn't weird to feel another dick, per se, but the movement of it all was unusual, and the whole lack of soft, giving curves was going to take some getting used to. On the other hand, Sammy was huge, like, everywhere. His sheer bulk was producing some really good friction, even without the grinding, thrusting movements. Tired of being a pacifist, because Dean was sure that word had never applied to him, he slid his hands down to cup at Sam's ass to encourage the motion. Sam pushed his mouth harder against Dean's, and Dean took the opportunity to nip gently at Sam's lower lip. Sam jerked back a little at the action, and before Dean could soothe away the tiny hurt, Sam was flailing backwards off the bed. He landed with a loud, painful-sounding thump. The bed covers pulled down around him, tangled up with his long legs.
"Sam?"
Dean asked generically, because he wasn't sure what a good specific question would be. What's wrong? Why did you stop? Why did your mental commentary suddenly short out? All of those would be begging for another awkward conversation.
"You're really here," Sam stated bluntly.
Yeah?
I thought it was a dream,"
Sam mumbled as he blushed. Dean frowned.
"You have dreams that vivid very often?"
Sam blushed harder and refused to meet Dean's eyes.
"Wow, okay, just...
could you just not say what I think you might want to say?"
"What's that?"
"I don't know. Something rude and possibly vulgar," Sam suggested.
Dean opened his mouth and closed it, then opened it again to say,
"Would you consider calling you a cock tease to be vulgar?"
Sam's blush regained any vibrancy that it had lost. Dean grinned triumphantly.
"Because you are. I'm here all hard and horny, and you're acting like some pious virgin that I'm tempting into a fate worse than death."
Sam rolled his eyes and started to struggle out of the tangle of blankets.
"You watch too much porn."
"No such thing,"
Dean rebutted, as his eyes took in the sight of Sam's writhing appreciatively.
"Pretty sure there is. It's like an addiction. It's bad for you."
Sam mumbled as he reached down to grab at the covers.
"Sex is good, Sammy," Dean pointed out.
Sam's skin flushed a darker red because, yeah, Sam knew Dean, and there wasn't the slimmest chance that Sam didn't know that Dean was talking about them and sex.
"Dean,"
Sam whined, as he finally got free of the not-so-threatening sheets.
"Sam,"
Dean mocked in the exact same tone. It wasn't that difficult to replicate. Dean had been hearing it every year, with a few horrible Samless exceptions, since he was 4 years old. Sam turned to glare at his brother. His broad forehead was already in its wrinkled state, and his normally wide mouth was thin and puckered. He was obviously preparing to get into a fight with his brother, which was why Dean shifted up onto his knees, making the first thing that Sam's eyes actually fully glared at, Dean's pretty obvious boner. Dean suppressed a gleeful smirk of triumph at the surprised look on Sam's face. He was fairly certain that he shouldn't be trying to one-up his brother so early in their romantic relationship. There should be much wooing and good times had before they started getting playful and aggressive. There should be a good, solid base of love and mutual want before they started in on the head games. Granted, that was probably not so attainable a goal, given that Sam had actually been in Dean's head, mucking around with it. And there was the whole thing with wanting to spend the rest of their lives in gay love with each other. That qualified as a head trip in and of itself. Cock, Sam's internal commentary stuttered back to life inside Dean's brain. Obviously, the whole head game thing was going to be unavoidable. Dean thrust his pelvis forward a bit in what he hoped was an enticing manner, because, yeah, they were going to have to talk about it at some point, but talking about it wasn't going to get either of them laid. Talking about it was going to lead to fighting and misunderstandings, so they might as well have sex first to put the commitment out there. Nah, Sam's libido commented, and Sam himself swayed a little in Dean's direction. Dean let his hand drift down to trace the outline of his cock. He didn't grab himself, not directly. He didn't think Sam was the type of guy to get off on watching. Sam had always been more of a participant. He was pretty hung up on the being equals thing. Dean, Sam moaned out loud, while his brain supplied a heady rush of lust. Sammy, Dean purred as low and throaty as possible. He'd been told that it was seductive, and if the feeling of Sam's large hands curling over his hips was any indication, that waitress in Tampa hadn't been lying. For a split second they froze, the minute flexing of Sam's fingers the only non-life-supporting movement that either of them made. Sam stared at Dean's underwear covered hard on, and Dean stared at the top of Sam's head, cataloging the strange patterns that Sam's cowlicks made when he had bedhead. Then Sam leaned in, just that little bit farther, while his hands tugged Dean's hips forward, and before Dean really processed what was happening, Sam was nuzzling Dean's cock. Without Dean's conscious consent, his hands buried themselves in Sam's hair, mussing the unruly strands even more than sleep had, but Sam didn't seem to mind. The warm puffs of air that he was breathing against Dean's crotch intensified, though Dean couldn't tell if that was because Sam was breathing harder or just because Dean's boxers were getting damp and the wetness was magnifying the sensation. Dean, Sam's mind cooed again, but there was the strangest sensation that it was more of an identification thought than... Sam's teeth closed around the width of Dean's penis about halfway between its head and its base. The grip was loose, and the material from his shorts kept away any pain that the sharpness of the teeth would have brought from making actual contact with the sensitive skin that it was protecting. It was somewhat intimidating to have his manhood in such a dangerous situation, but Dean refused to freeze. Sam's lizard brain had suspiciously quieted down, and Dean knew full well how devious his brother was, freaky mind link or not. Tell me you don't have a biting kink, because I am not down with that. I've got enough scars, Dean commented in a lazy, relaxed drawl as he combed his fingers through Sam's hair again. Sam let go of Dean's cock and huffed a laugh against it instead. Cass took most of them away. Dean arched an eyebrow at that because, yeah, Sam sounded jealous. And, okay, Dean had done the whole angel thing with Anna, so it wasn't like he was against the concept, but really, jealousy over Castiel? Sam was such a girl. Only man for me, baby, he promised. Sam groaned unsexily, and Dean jerked as the reverberations from it traveled through his dick.
"Don't ever call me that again," Sam chided.
Dean was all for the witty retort, but the feeling of Sam yanking his boxers down sort of short-circuited his brain. He pushed his hips out on instinct and was rewarded with the feeling of his cock rubbing against Sam's cheek. The prickles of barely grown stubble interrupted what would have been a very pleasant rub against some soft skin. Dean shivered and shifted back a bit, but Sam's hand slid further back to grab Dean's ass and hold him still. It was kind of a turn-on and kind of irritating at the same time. Dean was bossy by nature, always had been, and he didn't see that changing in the near or distant future. Manhandling was not going to happen to him. He didn't care how huge his Sammy had gotten over the years. Sam's lips quirked as if he knew exactly what Dean was thinking. He probably did. Still, there was pushing the point about being irritated, and there was the fact that his hard-on was hard, red, and proudly showing itself off right in front of Sam's face. It wasn't the biggest or hardest erection that Dean had ever had, but it was perfectly... Dean didn't even bother holding back his gasp of surprise when Sam's mouth closed over the head of his cock, sucking it gently into his mouth.
"Oh."
Dean grunted as more blood rushed south, like it was trying to escape into the warm heat that lay just beyond Sam's lips. Sam's eyes flicked upwards at the sound, but his mouth slid down Dean's length a bit more, and Dean couldn't bring his brain far enough back online to decipher what the look meant. He was much too busy cataloging the feel of Sam's mouth around him. The wetness was nigh on perfect, even if the occasional scrape of teeth and the uneven sucking showed how much of a novice Sam was at the act. The thought of being the first guy to have Sam's mouth sent another wave of lust through Dean's system, and he felt a corresponding pulse in his groin that told him that his cock was now leaking pre-cum. He was hard and leaking in Sam's mouth. His Sammy's mouth was wrapped around him. His Sam's mouth was bobbing ever so slightly on his cock, leaving the teeniest trail of shiny spit in its wake on the backstroke. Dean groaned, and Sam's mind commentary let out some sort of garbled whine that sounded something like, "Tastes so good, oh God, so hard." But Dean was too far gone to really pay attention to it beyond confirming the fact that Sam was having a good time giving him head. Oh God. Sammy was having a good time giving him head. That was, okay, kind of a really big turn-on. Despite Dean's efforts to be a gentleman for Sam's first time out, the thought made him thrust into Sam's heat. Sam made a slight choking noise at the action, but sucked hard when Dean tried to pull out in response.
"Sam,"
Dean groaned, and his muscles quivered as he forced himself to not push back into that wonderful pressure. Sam rolled his eyes and almost choked again when the motion caused his head to move at a bad angle. Dean started to pull out again, and this time Sam clamped down ever so lightly with his teeth. Pulling his head out past Sam's pearly whites sounded like the worst idea ever, so Dean stilled his hips. Sam glared at Dean and tightened his fingers on Dean's hips. Dean stared defiantly down at him. It was a losing battle, though, because not moving just gave Dean time to think about how hot it was to have Sam's mouth wrapped around his cock like that, and how much he loved Sammy, and how long it had been since he'd really enjoyed a blowjob. Sam, the fucker, sensed Dean's capitulation and relaxed his jaw again so that it was only his lips that were sliding up and down Dean's girth. Dean gave up and thrust the teeniest bit into Sam's mouth. If Sam wasn't giving up on the whole oral sex thing, the least Dean could do was not be a prick about it. Nobody needed sore jaw muscles, after all. The next time that Sam made a slight choking sound, Dean pulled back a bit but kept his hand on the back of Sam's head to show him that he didn't have any intention of pulling all the way out. After that, Sam seemed to find a good rhythm for bobbing and sucking that corresponded well with Dean's shallow thrusting. It was good and hot, and Sam kept grunting a little every time that Dean groaned, which only made Dean groan more because Sam had the damned cutest sex noises. Sam's left hand slipped off Dean's hip and slid down to cup gently at Dean's balls. They pulled up tight at the fondling, and Dean spared a second to curse their sensitive nature right before his orgasm hit. Sam choked again, but this time he was the one who pulled back, only to have the last of Dean's spunk hit his chin. It was embarrassing. Dean couldn't remember the last time that he had shot off in anybody's mouth without giving them some warning. And here he was, just shooting his load like some teenager.
"Sorry,"
he wheezed out, even though his body was voting for a relaxed afterglow instead of mortifying apologies. Sam stared blankly at him for a minute before launching off the floor and pinning Dean to the mattress. It was uncomfortable, because one of his legs didn't quite get straight before Sam's weight descended on him, but the frantic kiss that Sam gave him made up for the bad positioning. Dean could taste himself on Sam's tongue, and could feel the press of Sam's cock as they moved together. Dean pushed up a bit to get his leg at a more comfortable angle. The movement caused their kiss to break, and Dean took advantage of the space between them to pull Sam's shirt off before attacking his mouth again. Sam's tongue was agile against Dean's in a way that it hadn't been when it was assisting with his blowjob. It was exciting to think about how much better their sex life was going to get when they'd had a little practice, because it was obvious that Sam was going to be good at it, and Dean knew that he was not going to let his little brother best him in anything. Dean ran his hands down Sam's back as they kissed and smiled a little when Sam's hand slid between their bodies, heading towards his underwear. They were obviously on the same train of thought. Getting naked together was a fantastic idea. Skin was good. Dean shifted and contorted a bit to allow Sam room to get his boxers off, and was rewarded with a long, unhappy-sounding moan from above. Then Sam collapsed on Dean, his arm in uncomfortable hardness between them.
"Sam?"
Dean asked, concerned for a moment that something horrible had happened.
"Fuck,"
Sam responded back.
"Dude?"
"Don't say anything. Promise me you won't say anything," Sam mumbled into Dean's shoulder. Dean frowned and pushed Sam onto his back so he could get a good look at him. Sam's eyes were squeezed shut, and his skin was back to the mortified flush it had been sporting earlier. Slowly, Sam pulled his hand up from where it had been, the snap of elastic surprisingly loud in the cheap motel room, and waved it slowly in a weird hello gesture. For a split second, Dean was tempted to mock Sam mercilessly, but common sense pointed out that it would probably delay further sexual gratification if he criticized Sam's sexual performance. There was also the fact that now Dean wasn't thinking with his downstairs brain. He remembered that the blowjob was supposed to have been done in reverse. Then again, the reason he'd been thinking blowjob was because of the whole seed-swallowing factor, and Sam's hand was just as easily licked as his cock was. Dean grabbed Sam's wrist and tugged his hand to his lips. Sam's eyes opened slightly at the action, but flew wide open at the first lick that Dean gave.
"Dean, no."
Sam sounded horrified, which was kind of laughable given that they'd just had sex, and that should have been much more horrifying than binding themselves together. But then again, Sam had always been the one to try to put distance on their relationship. Ignoring Sam's protest, Dean swiped his tongue along a different path. His eyes locked on Sam's as he made his way, daring him to pull his hand away. Sam lowered his gaze to watch Dean's mouth, and his chest started heaving in uneven gasps. With a daring smile, Dean sucked one finger into his mouth, nipping slightly at the pad when he pulled off. The look on Sam's face turned dazed, and in the back of Dean's head he could hear the faint buzzing of Sam's lust start up again. He finished cleaning Sam's hand and let it go with a final kiss to his palm. The instant that Dean let Sam's hand go, Sam rolled off the bed and headed into the bathroom. Dean tried to follow, but the problem with sex was that his brain didn't always start functioning on all cylinders after it. So, when Dean tried to stand to chase after his brother, his underwear that was still bunched around his thighs from where Sam had pulled it down earlier
hobbled him so that he tipped over. It wasn't as painful or as embarrassing as it could have been as he face-planted into the bed next to the one that they'd just had sex on, but it did slow down his progress. By the time he had righted himself and kicked off the offending boxers, Sam had the shower going, and if Dean still knew his brother, Sam wasn't going to appreciate having his shower interrupted. Grumbling to himself and shooting his boxers a dirty look, Dean stumbled over to Sam's duffel to pull out a pair of sweats and a shirt. If he had to wait for Sam to finish scrubbing away whatever it was that he felt needed to be cleaned off, he was damn well going to do something useful with that waiting period. Coffee and a greasy to-go breakfast sounded like a great way to pass the time, but showing up in his boots and sleeping wear wasn't a good idea. Granted, wearing Sam's clothes and looking like a hobo wasn't going to be much better, but there was no chance that he was going back to his original room to show his post-coital face to Bobby and Jess until he absolutely had to. His body had never been subtle about announcing that it had just gotten laid. From his face to his hips to his stupid knees, it declared that it had gotten off. He wasn't going to take that particular walk of shame until he could drag Sam with him to share the experience. Grabbing money out of the secret stash that Sam had been keeping in his duffel since he was 13, Dean marched out the door to get sustenance.
"You ain't Dean," were the first words that greeted Jess when she woke up.
"Was it the boobs that gave me away?" she snarled back. God, she was so not a morning person, especially when she got sexiled. She had sort of thought that she would never have to face that particular problem ever again once she had moved out of the college dorms, but she'd obviously been proven wrong. Bobby grunted and crawled out of the bed next to her. And yes, she'd been sharing a room with him earlier, but he obviously wore more to bed when a lady was around. She shut her eyes, but not before she had a chance to see that Bobby Singer was wearing bright, Barbie pink, cotton briefs, and did nothing else.
"I hadn't done laundry lately, okay?"
Bobby snapped. "Sorry," she said meekly. It wasn't Bobby's fault that she'd switched places with Dean the night before, and she was of the opinion that Dean was a little bit of a jerk anyway. He had probably done something to deserve seeing Bobby in those shorts.
"Ain't your fault. Should have gotten up and changed when you fell asleep last night. Was just too tired. Stress, you know?"
Jess nodded and instantly felt a touch foolish because she had no way of knowing if Bobby was looking at her to see the motion or not.
"I'm decent," Bobby huffed out, but it was a tolerant sort of exasperation that filled his tone, so she felt safe opening her eyes and smiling meekly at him.
"I'm hoping this means that Sam and Dean were entering into acts of coitus last night," Castiel announced from behind a now mostly clothed Bobby.
Jess let out an undignified shriek and was only slightly mollified by the look of surprise that flitted across Bobby's face. Granted, he hadn't screamed like a girl, but he'd been a hunter a long time and was a guy. Jess was still getting used to the strange men appearing randomly thing.
"I didn't ask," Bobby informed Castiel dryly.
"It is imperative that Dean succeed as soon as possible. It is for the good of us all," Castiel said. Jess figured that it was his way of putting Bobby in his place, but really it was hard to tell with the lack of emotion that the angel was showing on his face.
"Yeah? So what do you want me to do, roofie them?"
Bobby snapped back sarcastically. "Perhaps you could speak to Sam about the importance of this interaction. Dean is not always the best in having conversations of great importance with his brother. They usually end in a calamity or five before they resolve anything."
"You want me to go tell Sam to let his brother blow him?" Bobby drawled out slowly.
Castiel shifted his weight and almost shrugged. "Perhaps that is not the best plan either." "Hey," Jess interrupted, "here's a thought. Maybe we should just let them be.
I mean, I realize that I have absolutely no experience with Sam's sexual habits, but if I had, say, been his girlfriend or something, I would maybe tell you that he's not exactly the quick screw kind of guy.
Your sarcasm is irritating, and we do not have time for Sam to get in the mood. A group of demons is headed this way to abduct Sam's mate before they consummate their union. The only reason that they are not here yet is because of the hex bags that are protecting all of you, Castiel informed her.
Oh, that's just great, Bobby said as he stalked over to his bag and started rummaging around in it.
Wait, how do you know that there are demons coming? Shouldn't that be Crowley's gig?
Castiel shifted again, this time more uncomfortably in Jess's opinion.
There is a possibility that he is attempting to contact Sam on the subject.
I found out because of the amulet that I took from Lisa Braden.
Bobby just stared at Castiel when the angel stopped speaking.
Jess gave the guy the benefit of the doubt and arched an inquiring eyebrow at him. After all, he wasn't exactly human. There was the chance that he didn't realize that he had to elaborate on his comment.
Castiel coughed once. It has a soul, ghost, attached to it. Steve is apparently very loyal to Sam.
Steve? Jess asked.
The ghost, Cass clarified.
Yeah, I got that. I was just looking for a little more information.
Sam rescued him from hell. Steve was there because he had sold his soul to a crossroads demon in exchange for saving the lives of 20 orphans in a...
You don't need to hear this story. Suffice it to say that his good intentions make several of my colleagues look like... How would Dean put it?
Ah, yes. D-bags.
Your colleagues don't need Steve the stupid ghost to make them look like that, Bobby told him.
That also doesn't explain why a ghost attached to a necklace would know more about the comings and goings of demons than Crowley, or why he isn't here, Jess pointed out.
I got held up in traffic, came Crowley's sarcastic response.
Great, Bobby muttered. I missed you too, sweetheart, Crowley said with a particularly lascivious smirk.
Enough. We must warn Dean and Sam, Castiel ordered. Jess wrinkled her nose at the proclamation. She wasn't sure what the Winchester brothers had gotten up to the night before, but she didn't want to walk in them if they were still doing it. She might be okay with encouraging them into a relationship, but that didn't mean that she wanted to see her ex getting it on with his brother. Out of the corner of her eye, she could see Bobby fidget just a little bit, and she would lay money on him having the same sort of thoughts. He said,
Well, go get them, then.
And Jess was struck with the idea that Bobby was a genius for putting it back on Cass.
I do not know their exact location. If I did, I would not have stopped here first, Castiel responded with enough exasperation that it made it through in his normally disaffected tone.
Lord Moose is taking an insanely thorough shower, and his princess consort is making his walk of shame back from the local coffee shop. It wouldn't hurt you to do a bit of reconnaissance, you know, Crowley said with a haughty look towards Castiel.
Which just brings up my question of why you're in here talking to us instead of, what did you call Sam? Lord Moose? Jess retorted with a pointed glare at Crowley.
The demon shrugged off her look like it was nothing, and Jess wasn't truly surprised. He was evil. He probably had a lot more than angry glances tossed at him.
He's a wonderful specimen of flesh, but I have no desire to interrupt him while he's in the buff. His beloved doesn't like me much, and might just send me back somewhere mightily unpleasant.
Worse, he might cut my dick off. Dean's barbaric enough to ask for that, Crowley said with too amused of a smile for Jess's comfort. Guys just didn't talk about their dicks being cut off with anything resembling humor.
Perhaps we should speak to Dean then,
Castiel's gruff voice eased the room out of what promised to be another awkward moment, where they all tried to pawn off talking to Sam on the person next to them.
"Oh, you're going to go talk to the missus before he's had his morning coffee? Have fun with that."
Crowley's sarcasm was predictable. "I am," Castiel stated, but instead of just disappearing from the room, he strode over to the door, opened it, and yelled, "Dean!" It took a while and some impatient gestures from Castiel, but Dean eventually appeared at the open doorway. He was disheveled and had a large coffee in each hand. Under one armpit, he had a sack with grease stains on it. The clothes he was wearing were obviously too large for him. One leg of the rolled-up sweatpants he had on had unrolled a bit and was flopping around his boot. Jess was pretty certain that if she was closer, he'd smell like Sam and sex. It was embarrassing. At least it was for the humans in the room. Castiel just looked pleased and Crowley was leering. The leering was probably just for show, though. Dean looked around at the assembled party and grunted out an irritable, "What?"
"So there are demons that have figured out where we are and are coming to get me and hold me ransom," Dean repeated slowly, after both Cass and Crowley were done speaking.
"Yes," Cass nodded his head with his proclamation as if it needed emphasis. Dean took a sip of his coffee and stared at the wall. He wasn't about to look into any of their faces for his next sentence.
"Well, they're too late. We're all... "Please stop, we get the picture,"
Bobby interrupted Dean's stilted confession, and at that moment Dean was certain that he had never loved Bobby more.
"Yeah, well, birds and butterflies and all that,"
Dean mumbled because he might love Bobby the most right now, but he hated not having the last word.
"Seriously? Birds and butterflies? That's not very useful,"
Crowley said in what sounded like fascination. Dean paused in mid-sip. At this rate, he was never going to get through his own coffee, let alone begin purloining from Sam's cup.
"It was a metaphor, asshat. Do I look like I'm shooting rainbows out of my ass here?" "You keep saying ass a lot. I think you've got a fixation. What's the matter? Yours too tight to let your brother's trouser snake in?"
Crowley's smirk was really starting to get on Dean's nerves.
"Crowley!"
Sam's snarl sounded vicious and mean as he stormed through the motel room door.
"Oh, good. The gang's all here,"
Crowley deadpanned.
"Enough. You will not speak to my brother that way,"
Sam spat out, although his proclamation lost some of its oomph when he broke over the word brother. Dean would be insulted, but it was Sam, and they hadn't had time to have the what-do-we-call-each-other discussion.
"Hey, Sammy, I brought you coffee,"
Dean proclaimed as he waved one of the cups at Sam by way of greeting.
"I also got you a breakfast sandwich, but I kind of ate it on the way back."
"What's in the bag, then?" Jess's voice was most unwelcome as she asked the question. Sam had focused in on Dean's face as soon as he had started speaking, and until the ex started talking, it had felt like Dean and Sam were the only two people in the room.
"My breakfast sandwich," Dean told her.
"That doesn't even make sense,"
Jess said.
"It does to Dean,"
Sam murmured, and Dean had to force himself to stand still because he hadn't noticed Sam's approach. Sam smiled bashfully at Dean and wrapped one hand around the offered cup. Once it was free from Dean's grasp, Sam lifted it to his lips and took a tentative sip. It wasn't anything different from what Dean had seen 1,000 times before. From when Sam was old enough for a sippy cup, to a milkshake from a drive-through, to a bottle of beer, to a, well, fancy coffee in a to-go cup, Sam had been pursing and wrapping his lips to drink out of all sorts of containers for the same way for years. There was no reason why the sight of it should make Dean's blood supply rush south, but it did. One minute Dean was annoyed, the next minute he was still annoyed, but horny and wanting to drag Sam off somewhere, because one blowjob just wasn't going to cut it.
There needed to be sex, and possibly more snuggling afterwards. Sam choked and snorted, and coffee came out of his pointy nose.
"Jesus, Dean!" he exclaimed as he turned, wide eyes on his brother.
"What? Did that bitch put something in there? She looked at me funny when I said it was for my boyfriend. I bet she was a homophobe,"
Dean said as he snatched the cup away, popped the lid off, and snipped at the contents suspiciously.
"Not that," Sam said in a strained voice.
"That's his doing?"
Bobby asked in the same strangled way. Dean looked up from his coffee to look at Bobby's pinched and uncomfortable expression. A quick glance around the room showed Crowley smirking, Jess and Sam looking incredibly embarrassed, a flowering plant in the corner that Dean hadn't noticed before, and Cass looking Cass-like.
"What?"
Crowley opened his mouth, but clamped it shut when his demon essence started to wisp out of it. Dean turned an inquiring gaze toward his brother.
"He was about to say something to you," Sam protested.
"You mean, like, tell me what's going on in a really dickish way? I'm a big boy, Sammy. I think I can handle it."
"I bet you are," Jess grumbled. Dean turned to glare at her, but she simply blushed and looked away.
"What?"
Dean snapped. "You are projecting yourself very strongly," Cass intoned.
"I'm projecting myself. Well, you know what? When I don't get a freaking answer to a freaking question, I get a little pissed,"
Dean snarled.
"No, Dean, he means..."
Sam stopped and shifted, uncomfortable.
"He means that you're, you know..."
"Obviously I don't."
Sam hunched his shoulders and grabbed Dean's hand, only to pull it down and place it over his crotch. His dick was an obvious hard and hot line through the denim.
"Oh, Lord," Bobby groaned in a mortified way, and Jess whimpered.
Cass didn't say anything, but Dean bet that Crowley would have said something perverted if it weren't for the fact that he was afraid of Sam. Dean jerked his hand away.
"What is wrong with you? First you don't even want to touch me, and now you're up for exhibition games in front of Bobby?" "No, Dean, you... Look, see that plant over there?"
Sam gestured at the plant over in the corner.
"Yeah?"
"It wasn't flowering when we came in. I wasn't, you know, until just now. None of us were."
"Well, I hope not. This isn't exactly the greatest setting for an orgy. I mean, all of you?"
Dean squeaked as his brain finally caught up.
"You are influencing their bodies with your lust for your brother," Cass confirmed.
Dean couldn't help but glance in Bobby's direction before hastily jerking his eyes back. He didn't want to know. He didn't want to know. He didn't want to know.
"How is that even possible?" he asked Castiel.
"I told you that the whole seed thing was a bad idea, but you didn't listen. God, Dean, you always have to be right, don't you? Now look at us,"
Sam snapped before Cass could reply.
"What, this is my fault now?"
"Of course it's your fault. Look around you. You're making plants bloom. That isn't normal."
"Newsflash, Sam. Our lives aren't normal. Why do you always have to be caught up on that, huh?"
"Dean, you're giving people spontaneous erections. Does this not strike you as a bad thing?"
Dean scowled at his brother.
"I'm not giving Jess one."
Sam groaned and ran his fingers through his hair.
"That is so not the point, and you know it. She's sitting over there as what..."
A pillow hit to the back of Sam's head cut him off.
"Finish that sentence and you'll regret it, Winchester,"
Jess hissed. She shoved her way between Dean and Sam and glared at them both before opening her mouth again.
"I've been pretty damn patient and easygoing about this. I've supported the love of my life's clandestine, gay, incestuous, psychotic love. I've almost got myself killed, again, in fighting off some demons. And I walked your freaking dog. So I think the two of you need to get over the whole spontaneous powers thing, because logic dictates that they aren't going away. Spilled milk.
You want to bicker about it? Pick a time when we aren't about to get attacked by creepy evil things.
Jess stomped away into the bathroom and shut the door with a quiet, demure click. Bobby kind of looked like he wished he'd thought of going in there first.
"Touchy," Dean muttered. Sam snorted and whacked him on the arm.
"What? Dude, I'm glad that you didn't marry her," Dean defended himself.
"Well, that would be unfortunate, yes. Adultery is a grave sin," Castiel agreed.
"Worse than sleeping with your brother?" Bobby asked.
And yeah, Dean might have been hurt by the implication, but he figured that Bobby was handling the situation like a trooper, so he let it slide.
That is unimportant at the moment. As Dean and Sam are what they are, I believe that we need to focus on the important fact of our impending doom," Cass replied.
"How many creepy evil things are we talking here?" Sam asked in an almost clinical tone.
"Enough," Crowley answered.
Sam turned and raised one eyebrow at him. "Would you like to answer that question a little more respectfully?" Crowley looked unimpressed.
"Watch it, or the little missus is going to yank on your chain. He doesn't like it when you play with people's minds, or so I've heard."
"You aren't people," Dean growled threateningly. He might not want to encourage Sam in using his powers, but he wouldn't exactly cry if Sam sent Crowley on a trip down under. Besides, it wasn't as if Dean was one to talk about weird powers. At least Sam seemed to have some sort of control.
"Whatever, Mother Earth, you need me," Crowley said with a dismissive wave of his hand.
"Sammy isn't going to compromise your safety by getting rid of me right before an attack. I'm rather useful, which is more than I can say for you right now."
"Meaning what, exactly?"
Dean snarled as he pushed his way past Sam to get into Crowley's personal space.
"Meaning that you're all love and hearts? What is it that you think you're going to do out there? Make with the power of love?"
Dean didn't have his gun on him, but he'd left one under his pillow the night before. When he reached underneath, he found that Jess hadn't moved it, and wasted no time bringing it to bear on Crowley.
"I'm thinking that I'm just going to shoot them," he answered.
Crowley held up his hands in mock surrender, but didn't say anything else.
"Well, now that we're all done with the confusing speeches and the posturing, maybe we should put together a plan. Or are we going off half-cocked like normal?"
It was hard to tell if Bobby's question was just his normal gruffness or if he was truly pissed. Dean lowered the gun. He didn't intend on finding out.